Nicole Whitney, News for the Soul, life-changing talk radio from the uplifting to the unexplained.
You're listening to the News for the Soul Radio Network. The News for the Soul Radio Network airs daily and our archives are always totally free. Go to newsforthesoul.com to join the next live show now. That's newsforthesoul.com.
Hear all of our previously aired broadcasts of News for the Soul online at newsforthesoul.com. Now let's get back to the show.
And we're live again, still, yay. Balanced Wellness with Susan Macnan is what's next, one of the newest hosts on the network and the new show. We're going to bring her on to introduce herself, her show, and her guest, and what's up for today. Susan, welcome back.
Thank you, Nicole. I'm very excited to be here tonight, and I'm very grateful to introduce you all to Joe Nunziata this evening. Joe is a best-selling author, a business consultant, a professional speaker, and a life coach. Many of you may already know Joe. He's been delivering his life-changing messages at events and seminars since 1992. His enlightening programs are a unique blend of spirituality, psychology, philosophy, and the power of internal energy. Joe teaches us that to make permanent changes, you must clear your negative energy and break those destructive patterns of behavior at the core level. And I so relate to that. This transformational process creates new energy and beliefs that are designed to help you achieve sustained positive growth in all areas of your life. Appeared on many television and radio programs, including Good Day New York, Street Talk on Fox TV, Guyam TV, Cablevision News 12, Better TV and the Braveheart Network, and various other radio stations across the country. His books include Heal the Deal, Chasing Your Life, Karma Buster, Spiritual Selling, Finding Your Purpose, and No More 9-to-5. Other programs that he teaches also include Change Your Energy, Change Your Life, No More Mental Barriers, Connecting to Your Spirit, and The 7 Keys to Transformation. So without further ado, I'm very excited to introduce a fellow Brooklynite to you, Joe Nunziata. Welcome, Joe.
Hey, Susan. How are you?
I am good. I'm very excited about tonight's topic.
Excited to be here.
Great. So let's start by just really diving in to how do we manifest.
You know, this is an interest. Of course, we're going through this whole transition of time. We've got this age of Aquarius, so we've got all kinds of things happening right now. Of course, pandemics and all types of disruption. And I think it's easy for people now. They're really getting caught up in everything that's happening. You know, it's easy to get caught up in the politics and the presidents and the this and the that. So I really find as I'm talking to people, they're struggling a little bit with the idea. They're not focusing on moving their lives forward. It's almost like there's so many distractions that they're not doing the work. It's almost like, you know, you have to keep doing the work. I always look at it that way. Like I get up every morning, I do my meditation, I keep doing my work. And what I'm finding is because people are getting disrupted and, you know, a lot of people, I hate to say it, like to be disrupted. So this is good for them. We also have a lot of people that are, you know, humans are fear-based to begin with because we are fear-based to be here in the physical third dimension. So we have that going as well. So it doesn't take much to get people scared. And people already are in it. Like I said, we're all fear-based on some level. We all do have some fears. So it doesn't take much to get people really panicked because it, on one sense, for a lot of people, it validates their fear. And it makes everybody say, look, I've been afraid all these years and now look what happened. So it allows them to kind of stand a little bit, I hate to say on a high horse, but some of them are, and kind of preach that they've been right and, you know, you should be afraid and this is what's going on. So there's a lot. So it really, I think it also depends. Like we're in California, so we have a state that's pretty closed down. Now I talk to people in different parts of the country every day and I get very different stories. I mean, people in, you know, Florida, Texas, Wisconsin, here, there, they're all pretty open. So again, we're here in a state that, here in New York, are probably the two states that have been the worst as far as shutting down. So there's a lot going on, but the main thing is you have to really get back to, I always bring everything back to energy, right? So it's all about energy. And the minute I go into the third dimension and start to bring myself down into all this minutia, that's when I get myself in trouble. So my advice to people is, you know, you could observe it, but don't get caught up in it. And I think that's the key to the whole thing. Like, you could say, I'm going to watch it because I watch it. I want to see what's going on because I want to, of course, just be aware. But I'm not in it. I'm just watching it. And I think you have to observe it and then make decisions that are good for you and just keep moving forward. Because the more you attach to it, the worse it will be. And that's what I'm seeing personally myself.
Absolutely. And I'm also seeing that there are a lot of people who, if they're not reaching their goals, they need and are looking for anything. Like what's going on right now with all of us is everybody's main excuse why they're not reaching this goal or that goal. They have to wait. They have to procrastinate. It gives them that out.
Yeah, 100%, right? Because it gives you, and it's, again, it's an I always used to use the term, but it's an easy story to sell. Because everybody's buying. It's, you know, as if they go, oh, the pandemic, and now this is what happened. And what we've seen is people who have said, okay, this is what's happening. And of course, I do a lot of business work as well. And the businesses that are saying, okay, we need to pivot here, we need to change, we need to deal with this. You know, successful businesses or people, you know, it's the same thing, right? Because people, businesses are energy, people are energy. Whoever's successful are people who adjust. And the people who throughout history have adjusted, whether it's wars, business, you know, dealing with, you know, we've gone through, you know, I'm a big history guy. You know, we've gone through plagues. We've gone through Spanish flus. We've gone through periods of time where a quarter of the population was killed by disease at different times. So humans have always gone through this. The people who adjust, the people who say, okay, how do I maneuver through this in the best possible way and look for solutions? Those are the people who will thrive. And the other people who have been waiting, you know, again, there's so many people, I hate to say it, this has been, they are loving this to no end. And there are so many people who love, I actually put a video on my YouTube channel of why people love COVID-19 because they actually love it. And they really do. They just love it. So the fact that they love it, it's like they are liking it so much. And it's like, okay, they love the situation and they love the circumstance. So it's something that's playing to all those feelings in them that they have not resolved. But now they get to have an excuse that everyone can kind of buy into. And it makes their life, you know, it makes their story a little easier to sell.
Absolutely. Now, how did you get into really understanding all of this about energy and human nature and how to overcome our obstacles?
Well, you know, for me, it was just I did it not because I thought that was what I would, should be doing. I did it because of problems, which I think most of us do, right? So I grew up in Brooklyn, as you said. My dad passed when I was young. He was a detective in narcotics. We had issues at home. I went to work very early, right after high school, started working full time, and my feeling was, hey, you want to be successful, you just go work really hard, set goals, nose to the grindstone. So I'll give you the short version. I ended up doing that for years and really was up and down, a couple of bankruptcies in the process, was very frustrated, was saying, I don't really understand why this isn't working. I've done everything that I'm supposed to do, so to speak. And ended up saying, you know, somebody said, you should go to therapy. You know, you have all these issues. Your dad died young. You had all these problems at home. And, of course, you know, we grew up Italians in Brooklyn. We were not talking about going to therapy. That was not our conversation that we had around the Sunday dinner table. Nobody said, you know, how are you feeling? That was I don't think I ever heard those words, actually, in my life. How are you feeling? And so that was very powerful. So I actually started out. I went to therapy. I didn't go there with a lot of excitement. I kind of went there with trepidation, but absolutely, once I went, I fell in love. I was just so fascinated by the whole thing. And, you know, I went from there. I started to study how your brain works, how your mind works, how you process information, how we make decisions. And that led me into, you know, metaphysical work and energy work and chakras and all kinds of crazy stuff that I never thought I would get involved in. And I learned meditation. And then I ended up working with a very powerful enlightened master teacher who taught me about the chakra system and how to clear the energy out of the chakra system. And then that's what I started to do. So I really was doing it for myself. I wasn't really doing it to teach it because I was a business person. I wasn't thinking of, oh, I'm going to go teach this to people. But eventually, you know, it just started happening and people started asking me questions and I kind of ended up going down that road. So you never know where you're going to end up.
Absolutely. I find that most of the time, the way we get put on our life journey is by going through our own obstacles and figuring that out. And then, like you said, people start to say, how did you do that? What can I do? And you become the teacher of what you've just overcome.
Pretty much, yeah. That's what I think a lot of people, and I think it goes back to the Greek, you know, when you look at Greek philosophy, the reluctant hero, where they say, yeah, you're the one, we want you to do this. And you're like, no, I'm not the person to do this. So it's kind of that same story of like Greek mythology and philosophy where they talk about the heroes are always the ones who didn't want to do it, who end up being the heroes.
Oh, no.
So that's kind of an interesting thing.
Wow. So I have two questions, and you can pick which order you want to answer them in because they're both so important. First one is if somebody does want to start, if they want to start to manifest or create what they're desiring and they really need to take to get past those fears or those obstacles to create some of those desires. And then the second question is what are some of those energies that we are experiencing now and going through that really is influencing how stuck we all are?
Yeah, very good questions. I'll take the first one first, which is, you know, how to get started. So basically, I think when we look at manifestation, we're already doing it. And I think this is something people don't realize. They think I have to manifest. So you're already manifesting. You may not like what you're manifesting, but you are manifesting. So that's, I think, the first. And so when I work with people, they say, no, I can't manifest. I said, no, you are manifesting. You're just not manifesting what you want. So I think that becomes part of the problem right there is people don't even understand that. They're already doing it. So basically it's like saying, well, I'm pointing in the wrong direction. I am manifesting, but I'm not getting what I desire. But the problem is what people don't understand, and I think this was the thing that changed my life, was it wasn't mentally what I desired that was the issue. It was emotionally what I was feeling that was the creating piece of it. So what people have to understand is you're manifesting based on how you feel, not what your brain thinks. Because the bottom line is, if that were the case, every single time you got up and thought of something, it would just, you'd have like, you'd be like the genie, right? You'd say, oh, I want this, and it would show up in your hand. So, but we know that doesn't happen. So when it doesn't happen, then we have to say, okay, how do I actually feel? But the question I always ask people in the beginning, because I think this is what I've seen time and time again, which is, why do you want that? And I think people people just say, oh, I want this. And they don't say, well, why do I want it? So a lot of times you want something because you believe, based on how you grew up or what you learned, that that's what you're supposed to be doing. But the reality is you don't really want that. So I'll tell you a quick story. There was years back, a woman came to one of my events in New York, and she said, I want to buy a coaching session with you for my son. So I said, okay, is there anything going on that I should know? She said, well, you know, he's 38 years old and I think he should be married. So right away I'm like, okay, this is a problem, right? And I said to her, listen, you know, I'm not going to tell him to get married because that's not my thing. I'll find out how he feels about it. So, you know, I get on the phone with him and his first thing he says to me is, well, you know, I really think I'm at this age now where I should get married. And I said, oh, well, why do you feel like that? So I said, tell me about your life. So he starts telling me he's an architect. He lives in Miami. He lives by the water. I got a great place. I travel around. I really enjoy my life. I have a lot of friends. I like dating. But he's telling me this whole wonderful story. So I said, well, based on that story, you don't sound like someone who wants to get married. Like, it sounds like you're really having a great time. So, you know, we had a long pause after that. And he finally said, you know, I really don't. But my mother keeps telling me I should. So again, he's trying to manifest a wife in this example, right? We're talking about manifesting or thinking, yeah, I want to get married. But his truth was not in alignment with that story. So now, of course, his mother was mad at me, but I said, you know, I do the work. I don't predict it. I don't direct people where they don't want to go. So
right.
So the first thing I think we need to do is say, what do I want and why do I want it? I need the why, not just the mm-hmm. why. Because everybody, as humans, we all want the same thing, right? We want to be healthy. We want to be mm-hmm. successful. We want to be in a good relationship. So we all basically want the same things. Now, I may have a different vision of what I want to do based on the work I came to do and you came to do and somebody else came to be a restaurateur and somebody else came to be an accountant and somebody, whatever it is. But at the end of the day, we all want those same basic things. So you have to get in alignment with your truth in your manifestation process and say, okay, this is what I want. This is why I want it. And that's it. I can't, but we have so much junk in the pipeline telling us mm-hmm. all the reasons why we shouldn't have that, or we shouldn't want that, or that's not the right thing, or you're supposed to be doing this. And it clogs up the process. So people who are what I call clean, meaning they're out of all the minutiae and all the words and all the voices in their heads and all the parents are supposed mm-hmm. to be doing this, those are the people who are at least in clean space where they can manifest, and they get stuck because they really don't want it, what they're saying they want. And I would see this with people at work in jobs, and they would say, yeah, I want to get that promotion. And I would say, well, do you really want that? And when we really got into the emotion of it, they would say, I really don't want that job because it's not where I want to go. It's more time away from my family. I mean, it's more money, but there's a lot of things about it. There's more traveling. I don't really want that. So I think we get caught in the third dimensional cycle of continuously mm-hmm. going forward and going up the ladder, but that's not what our soul wants. So it's very important to connect to your soul, so that you can get in alignment with what your soul really wants you to do, because we all have that coded to our DNA. The more we do that, absolutely. The easier things become. So yeah. And as far as what's happening now, to me, this pandemic was truth serum, because it forced people to be quiet. It forced people to look at themselves. If a lot of people ended up losing either businesses or jobs, or, you know, I've heard this from a lot of people, that they were doing great and all of a sudden everything went down the drain. That meant that their soul had to be realigned. Other people have taken this time and it's helped them move forward in a positive way. Other people have said, you know what, this got me to move, or, you know, get maybe out where I was. I wasn't happy there and I just wouldn't do it. And now I did. It kind of reminded me, this reminds me of like a mini 9/11 to a degree, because I was in New York then. And a lot of people at that time who were working on Wall Street or whatever the case, a lot of people really looked at their lives and said, you know what, I don't want this. I could see where my life is going, and they moved. And there was a story I read of a woman who was a big executive, one of the banks or whatever, and she moved to like Vermont and opened a B&B, and she was like, I'm done. And that wouldn't have happened had it not been for 9/11. So I think this whole situation forced people to look at themselves differently and bring themselves
absolutely.
Into the ones who chose to do it. I don't think everybody did it, but certain people who did.
Wow. That's true. It is a wake-up call for sure, because most people don't have a plan B. So if plan A starts to fail, that they're doomed, they feel.
Yeah, because they've been doing something all these years and all of a sudden it doesn't exist anymore. And this happened in Wall Street when we had the collapse in 2008 also. A lot of people, those jobs went away, never came back. People had to go do something else. I have friends still to this day who never went back there, ended up doing something different, or, you know, taking lesser positions because they never got back to where they were. So, you know, this is what happens when we have these disruptions. It always kind of, like I said, it brings the truth to the surface and it forces us to look at ourselves if we choose to and really mm-hmm. grow. We can really grow if we choose to go down that road.
Wow. So how hard is it for people to really get to their core desires?
I think it's not that hard if they could be in truth, but it's hard to be in truth. So that kind of creates the issue. But I think if people are honest with themselves, and this, of course, is difficult for us to do as humans, but if you really sit down and you're honest with yourself. And I mean really honest. And, you know, I do this every day with my own self because I say, okay, is this what you want to do? You're going in a certain direction. You're doing certain work. I made a lot of changes this year myself because I said, I do not, you know, I really don't do a lot of one-on-one coaching anymore. I really virtually none. And I knew that going forward, that was not what I wanted to do anymore. Because people have said to me, oh, you should build a program and a high tickets and all. And I said, you know what? I really don't want to do it. Now, I could have done it and made a lot of money, but I didn't want to. So that was, so the feeling was that, you know, now that's another thing that is dangerous, right? Because sometimes people say, wow, you know, I could do this and get, make a lot of money. But I knew in the end it was going to cost me because I knew I didn't feel like that was what I wanted to do. It was not in alignment with me. So I kind of sat down and said, okay, what is it that you really want to create? What is it that you want to do? And the other thing that I always look at, which I think is important for all of us, is how am I going to serve? And that is important to, because I want to serve. So I look at it in three, there are three levels. I say I want to serve, I want to share, and meaning I want to share my skills. And at the end, I also want to prosper. And I think this is one that people miss sometimes, because you're allowed to prosper, by the way. You're allowed to do well. In your, I think we've gotten into this like martyring, self-sacrificing world, and that's not healthy either. So we have to look at it and say, okay, this is what I want to do. How do I want to do it? And there is no right way to do it, right? It's just what feels right for you. And you know this because I just did a webinar about this last week, which is you know in your gut what gets you excited. So you already know that. The question is, will you allow yourself, and I use that word a lot, allow, will you allow yourself to follow that path? That's the question. And I think that's the place where people get stuck is they don't let themselves follow the path that they really want to be on. And I'm not saying there aren't detours, and sometimes you have to, you know, work a job and do this on the side or do whatever it is that you have to do to get there. But the key is to say, will I let myself go in this direction or not? And I think that's an important piece of the puzzle as well.
That's huge because that right there is the place where all of those fears start to bubble up to the surface.
Oh, yeah.
You know, somebody loses their home or loses their job and now they're forced to find something else. If they do say, okay, now I'm going to follow my passion, it's like, oh, my God, what if? What if I can't do it? What if I'm not good enough? What if I fail? What if? And all those voices come back to your head, which is the reason you didn't follow your passion in the first place and you got that safe job that now it may be lost.
Well, what I always say is it's the perception of a safe job. There is no such thing. Right? We perceive that. See, this is all really an illusion because I perceive something. I do something with the now you have to remember, humans always will go to safety because that's what they're looking for, right? Humans are trying to be safe. It's in our DNA to be safe. Like, you know, cavemen going in a cave and putting a fire in front of it so the animals wouldn't come and kill them at night, right? We want to be safe. But in our world now, we make a decision and we say, oh, I'm going to make that decision because that's the safe decision, but it really wasn't my sole decision. And I didn't take the road that was – now, again – going down the other road it will be more challenging because there's more when you want to do something above and beyond the box or the matrix, as I like to call it. Like people want to plug into the matrix and that's it. And you know, we're seeing this now with the vaccine where people just line up to get this vaccine. Nobody even thinks about checking into it. Is it okay? Is it something I should do? Maybe I shouldn't do it, you know, and it's just, you know, you just watch it. So you see how easy it is for people to be kind of pushed into a direction without really even giving it any thought. And I think, you know, of course, this happens every day.
Yeah, I wonder a lot about stuff like that, too. I question everything.
Yeah, well, you're, you know, seekers are different because we're, like I always say, you know, seekers are malcontents. We don't accept anything for what it is. We're going to always look at it and say, well, I have to look. You know, there are certain people who are just, you know, followers. Whatever you tell them, they're going to do it. You know, you've watched it here, right? You've watched people just blindly do these things without saying, wait a minute, I need to look at this, and is this the best thing for me to do? But that's the way people have, but historically, that's how people have always been. You know, they've just generally followed what they've been told. And then you have, of course, the rabble-rousers, as we want to call them or whatever, or the people who say, wait a minute, I'm not doing that. And then there we go. So I think, you know, and that's human history. So that's always going to be there.
See, I've always pretty much been the rule follower, but you have to tell me why. You can't just tell me to do something. You have to explain what is the benefit to me. How am I going to be better for this? You know, I won't blindly follow, but if you tell me the benefits, I will stand in line with everybody else. But a lot of things lately, I'll tell you, questioning more.
Right?
Yeah. That's the thing. I have to be convinced that it makes sense.
Right, which is not, you know, I had this, the first time I had this experience, I went into corporate America. Now, for me, I did it opposite because I went out and worked on trucks when I was younger. Then I had my own business when I was very young. So I kind of got into corporate. I was already out of school. I didn't go to college. So I was already like into my probably mid to late 20s by the time I got into the corporate world, probably later 20s because I had always been doing stuff on my own. So I had never done that before. So I was used to just saying, oh, okay, I want to do this, or does this make sense? I'll do this. And I got into corporate, and I remember being in a meeting, and they would go, and then I became a manager, and we're going around the table, and they're talking about something. And, you know, every time they came to me, I was like, well, why are we doing that? And then people would say, one guy came up to me during a lunch break. He said, you better stop questioning everything. And I said,
oh,
why?
Wow.
Because he said, why do you keep doing that? I said, well, because I'm not getting it. Like, why are we doing that? He said, well, that's the way they always did it. So you're going to get yourself in trouble. But you could see the fear, right, of saying, if I speak up, my job may be in jeopardy. So that was the fear that the person had going forward. And that's how they moved their lives forward. So you could see, you know, how this has happened over time and how we've been moved into this circumstance and situation. So now it comes down to saying, okay, going forward, how do I want to go forward as far as saying, I'm allowed to question it. Like you said, if you could make sense of it to me, I'm the same way. Hey, if that makes sense, I'm good. I'll row the boat with you.
Mm-hmm.
But if I don't think it makes sense, I'm not doing that. So I think that's an important part of the story for us is to say, hey, you know, show me that this makes sense. And I think we're looking at what's happened here in this last year. Most things are not making any sense. So, but people don't, and if you try to say that to someone, hey, you know, did you think about this, what they're doing? Did you look at they're playing basketball games and they're telling me I can't hug my kid? Like, how will we reconcile? Oh, well, that's different because they have to. No, why is that different? What? So it's. But this is what I'm saying. You don't even have to, even if you detach yourself from all the media, which is hard to do nowadays, if you just look at what's happening, you can see the truth if you choose to see the truth. But you know, many people don't want to. You have to choose to see the truth. And even if the truth is painful, you have to choose to say, well, you know, this is really what this looks like to me.
Yeah. Wow. I know. I'm just blown away by so much that's happening. And, you know, and I try not to – I do recognize that I get – into that fear mode, but it's not the fear of what's happening. It's the fear of the reaction to what's happening around me. It's everybody's reactions and the fear that they're all in that I am not okay with instead of taking action.
Instead of taking what you mean action on their part?
The way people are just blindly following because they've been told this is what you need to do instead of saying why, what's the benefit, what's better for me, how can I make a decision that's best for me and my family. I just want people to have the right to make decisions and not be so fear-based. So their fear following is what I get stuck in my kind of rebellion.
Well, I think what it comes down to is everything is from everybody's perspective. So from their perspective, they think they're doing the right thing because they're being told. And listen, we all know that propaganda works. It's worked for centuries and hundreds of years. They've been using it forever. And the people There's not a place where you could go. There's not. I don't care if you don't even turn anything on. You walk into a store, you see a 6-foot sticker on the floor. You go in, it says put the mask. So you've got people in a certain mindset who believe that, which is why it's not for me or you to judge them, right? They believe that is the right thing to do. They think that is the safe. They think they're making a good decision. And it's not for us to say, you're crazy, or what are you doing, or why are you not questioning this? But from the way you and I would look at it one way and say, why are you doing that, is the same way they look at us and say, why would you not get this vaccine? So I think we have to see that from that position and understand that everybody sees it the way they see it. And it's not for us to – well, I look at myself as a person. I can put information out, and then people have to make their own decision. So that is not my thing. That's not my thing to do, is not to force that person to. Now, I could, if I shed light on it and it helped you make a better decision for you, that's great. But if you want to oppose the information that's out there, then that's up to you. So it's not a. I don't want to take that on, and for you as well. It's not something for us to take on or get upset about. It's almost like, okay, that's what. And the bottom line is, every soul has to go through its own journey. So maybe those souls need to do that for themselves, so they can have their journey and their experience.
That's right. Oh my gosh. Yep. Absolutely. So what can you share with us, to you, and says, I need to start living my plan B. I need to start doing my soul's work. And you have that one or two sessions with them or more, if it takes more, to really uncover what their soul's why is. So now all of those fears start to surface. They know what they want to do. They know what their soul needs to do. How do they start to really manifest and create that from a place of, or how do they start to get rid of those fears, basically, is what I'm trying to ask.
Yeah, so I think the first thing to me, in any case, is you accept that you have those fears. And I don't think I've ever, you know, I've interviewed and worked with a lot of very, very wealthy people who are very successful, who started from scratch. And I will tell you, to a person, I have never spoken to any of them that said, hey, man, when I was in the middle of it, I was terrified. They all told me the same thing. I was bankrupt, or I was almost bankrupt. I was this, or I was bankrupt and had to come back and do it again in a different way. So every person who's gone through something and followed their path, so to speak, Every single one of those people has been through it and felt fear. So I don't think, I think one of the problems we have is we try to tell people don't be afraid, when in reality you have fear about it. You know, you have fear. There is going to be fear. So if there's going to be fear, then we know that instead of me resisting the fact that I will have fear, is just say, I'm going to do it anyway, but I accept that I will have fear. See, so that changes the dynamic of energy, because now I'm not resisting the fear. I'm saying, okay, I know that I will have some fear because it's normal as I'm expanding myself. And listen, whenever we expand ourselves, there will be a feeling of fear at certain times. So acceptance of the feeling, what it does is it takes the it takes the energy out of it, because I'm not trying to resist it or ignore it or make believe it's not there. I'm saying, hey, you know what? I do feel a little nervous about this, but it's okay. I'm going to keep going forward, but I do feel some nervousness or some fear. And I, like I said, I've interviewed a lot of people and talked to a lot of successful people. They've all said the same thing. And I've read a million biographies, and all these people who are honest to say, yeah, you know, I was on the ropes and I didn't think I was making it. And, you know, somehow we came out of it and whatever. But everybody, I think, faces those feelings and the ability to say, hey, you know what? I'm going to keep moving forward. But yes, I accept that I do have some fear or nervousness. So you hear this with athletes as well. They're going into a big game and they're nervous, and before that, you know, they're not sure if they could. Then they get out there and somehow they get it together. Other people don't get it together. So it really depends on the individuals. But part of it to me is fear is there always. We need to accept it. It's part of life. Certain fears, of course, protect us and keep us safe. So the idea is to just say, yes, I have fear. It's part of the process. I accept. See, that's also being an acceptance. I accept that if I'm going to go down this road, then I will have to put myself in, expand myself and put myself in positions that are uncomfortable. And I always tell people, when you feel uncomfortable, you know you're doing well.
Yeah, you're butting up against the edge of your comfort zone. You just have to take that next step.
100%. You have to feel that feeling of discomfort, or you're not doing anything.
Absolutely. Wow. So can you give us some examples that you've actually worked with and how they've moved forward doing this kind of a process?
Well, I had one woman a number of years back, actually quite a while ago. She was a financial planner at a time when it was mostly male-dominated. And she was a very, very smart girl, had gone to an Ivy League school. And it was funny because one of my students did a presentation, and she loved the way she did it. And she went up to the person I knew and said, where did you learn to do that? That was so good. And she said, oh, I have a coach. He taught me all this. And then she called me. So she said, you know, and she said, you know, I'm really good. I feel like I'm very good at what I do, but I'm afraid to sell it. And she said, you know, could you give me like a sales plan and all that? And I said, I can, because that's my background in sales and marketing, and I'd been a sales director and done all that. But I said, yeah, I can. But I said, that's not your problem. I said, your problem is you're afraid. So I said, let's deal with the fear and let's go back to find out what you're afraid of. And as we drilled down into it, what we discovered was she had, her mother was always making her feel like she was incompetent. And this was an incredibly accomplished person. This was a person who had been, like I said, Ivy League school, one of the top graduates in her class, was one of the few female financial planners in a certain level. I mean, she had accomplishments. So it wasn't like somebody said, well, you haven't done anything. So still, even at that level, she had the voices of her mother in her head. So I said, well, you're really angry at your mother, and you're going to have to, we need to deal with that feeling so that you can address that issue and then move forward. And of course, like many people, they say, well, it's my mother and I can't be angry at her. I said, well, you're not going to talk to your mother. You don't need to. It's just dealing with the emotion and the anger that you're holding toward her. So I showed her how to get to those feelings and how to flush it out and how to clear it, how to say, yeah, I need to address this feeling that I have. It took her a while because she really resisted the idea. Because, you know, she gave me the line that if I had a dollar for every time I heard my parents did the best they could, that's, I've heard that a zillion times. All right. So, and the answer, the bottom line is that's true, but it doesn't mean they didn't hurt you in the process. So just because they did the best they could doesn't mean that you didn't have pain. And it's not that they even did it on purpose. They're not aware enough to even know what they're doing, but it still inflicted damage on you. And finally, after a while, she was able to do it and she worked through those feelings and she had incredible breakthroughs. And today, which is quite a number of years ago, but today she's got she's one of the most successful female financial planners in the New York area. She has a nonprofit. She's been on every TV show you could imagine. She writes for, I think, a Wall Street Journal. So does all these unbelievable things. And the only thing stopping her really was the fact that she had this emotion connected back to her mother, which was holding her in that space that she felt that she couldn't come out of. So once she cleared that energy and got rid of that anger that she didn't even know was there, that she didn't even want to admit was there, then she broke through. And then things started to change for her.
Wow. That's amazing. Wow.
Yeah,
that's
one of my favorites.
That's awesome. Energy work. What's basically the way that you do these sessions?
Well, I really learned it through. I'm not a fan of NLP because NLP to me is a little bit like a manipulation of your brain a little bit. So I didn't like it. I really learned it through a meditation process. So it was learning how to get yourself in a calm state of meditation and then connecting back to those feelings. It's basically tracking yourself back down to the core. So what you're really looking to do is get the energy cleared at the core level. Most people, what they do is they react or they deal with the surface level, but they never really deal with, it's kind of like pulling a weed out. You know, I got the top of the weed, but it keeps growing back. So you have to be willing. So the example I always use, I always say to people, you know, everybody's running out of the burning building and you're running into the burning building. So it's counterintuitive because you're always looking to protect yourself in a sense where you're trying to avoid pain, because that's how we're designed, right? We're designed to avoid pain. So now all of a sudden you're saying, oh, okay, forget about that. Run into the burning building. It's like, okay, you want me to run into the burning building, but every part of me is saying get out of the burning building. So it's almost like you're learning to go into the fire and deal with the issue all the way down at the core level, which will go back to childhood and feelings that you have not resolved. And there's also karma involved as well, because there's karmic issues that we have but they're all tied to the emotion. So everything's tied to the emotions that we have. The karma is your DNA, your life path, everything's kind of connected. So the idea is to understand that I need to get down to the core emotion that I'm holding on to that I haven't cleared. And when I do that, then I can start, then you start to, because to me, it's about making changes that are going to stick and changes that you can build off of. But you don't want to go back and forth. So most people, that's what ends up happening. They do something, they have a little burst, they go up a little bit. It's like weight loss. You lose the weight. You know, we know that weight loss, for the most part, most people fail because it's not about, I mean, yes, is it about diet and exercise? Of course. But at the end of the day, it's about the feeling. And if you don't feel like you can be healthy and you don't feel comfortable being a healthy person, then it doesn't matter what you do, because you'll always revert back to your old self.
Yes. And I learned a long time ago, and I'm pretty sure you'll probably feel the same way, though. People need that reason to jump out of that comfort zone. They can't just make a decision. It's like going back to, you need to feel the feelings, and you need, the why has to be big enough to really give you the impetus to really start to change your path and do what's fearful and do what's kind of unexpected out of your comfort zone. I don't know. What are your thoughts about that?
Well, the word that always comes to me when I think of this is willingness. And I feel like you have to be willing to do the work. This is where people don't want to do the work. And we're in a society of pill takers, right? We're in a society of, how do I lose weight? I get a lap band surgery. How do I get there without doing the work? So this is where you have to say, I'm willing. I have a desire to change. And I'm also, everybody can have a desire to change, but are you willing to do the work? And, you know, when you look at people who are successful in anything, they have been willing to do the work. And if you're not willing to do the work, it doesn't matter. And if you're not willing to do the work, that's fine, but just admit it, because you're just wasting your time if you're not willing to do the work and you're not committed to walk the path and do what has to be done. You know, it's one of those things that's amazing about willingness is you can be willing to do everything. It doesn't mean you have to. You just need to be willing to, because chances are you don't have to do everything you think, right? But you need to be willing to do whatever is necessary. And if you're not, like when I started doing this work, you know, my teacher said, you have to get up every day and meditate, get up early. I've been doing it for 25 years. So, you know, this is the way, you know, so it was like, this is what the work is. You have to be willing to do the work. And it's the same thing. I have friends who are personal trainers. They'll say, you know, people come into the gym. The first thing I ask them is, what do they eat? He said, they'll tell me whatever. And I'll say, okay, you can't eat this. You can't eat this. You can't eat this. He said, they'll come back a week later. They're the same. They look worse. And I'm like, did you stop drinking sodas or whatever? He told them. And they said, no, I didn't. So, well, what are you doing? Like, you're wasting your time. Like, you're not willing to, you know, I had a cousin who was sick, very overweight, was drinking 10, 12 diet sodas a day, and which is the worst thing you could ever have, because diet soda is worse than regular soda. And I said to her, you know, you need to stop. She couldn't understand why she was so sick. I said, well, you're drinking 12 diet sodas a day. That's a start. Not to mention that her diet was terrible. But I said, you know, the first thing, you need to go to water and get off this is the first thing, because you need to cleanse your body. This is terrible. Never did it. It's got worse and worse and worse over the years. So, again, not willing to make the change. So that's why I always go back to willingness, because people have to be – everybody wants something. Are they willing to do the work to get it and change and elevate themselves? So you have to be willing, and you have to be – you know, I always tell people, you know, you have to be vigilant in your practice. And I mean that in a spiritual manner. I always say, you know, you have to be vigilant in your spiritual practice, where every day – I work on my energy every single day. I, at the end of the day, will look at myself and say, okay, what happened today? Did anything bother me? Did anything I need to work on? Then I'll do a meditation at night. Then I'll just, you know, so I'm constantly like tweaking, working on my feelings. What's going on? How could I be better? It's that constant work. And it's not about, you know, you're constantly doing it, and you're adjusting, and then you start to see changes. But it's that consistency that really makes the difference. And that's what I don't see people do. I think people are just inconsistent. And even with meditation work, I would have people say, yeah, you know, I was doing meditation, I felt great, and then I stopped doing it. It's like, why? And then all of a sudden, you know, things started going down. I said, well, why did you stop? I said, and I think that's part of the society as well, which is like the what I call it, the diploma society. It's like, oh, I did it, I got the diploma, I'm done. And, you know, life school never closes.
That's true. You know, staying motivated is probably, at least for me, one of the hardest things. It's just, I don't know why either. I'm going to have a coaching session with you to figure that part out.
Well, I think,
because,
you know,
I do find it difficult.
Mm-hmm. What, to stay motivated?
To stay motivated, even though I want to get from point A to point B, it is hard to really keep doing what you have to do, what you know you have to do, what you know you want to do, and yet something just stops you from doing it.
Yeah, and, you know, sometimes I think also we have to give ourselves a break because, you know, we could push it for a while, and then I know myself, I'm like, okay, I may just spend a weekend watching Netflix and not moving because I'm tired. So, and that's okay. You know, we need to be nice to ourselves. There are times when you want to say, well, I just need a break. You know, I've been pushing it, and I need a break. So that's why I think, again, it's that balance of saying, know when you need the break, know when you need to push it. Know when, you know, you need to be nice to yourself. Know when you need to push yourself a little bit. Because, you know, no one's 100% every day. You know, we all, certain days we're like, wow. It's like I go to the gym certain days. Well, now they finally reopened, so I'm excited I can go this week. But, you know, certain times you go, you feel fantastic. You're like, wow, I feel great. I could, you know, pick the world up over my head. And other days you drag through there. But you still go. I still go. I'm like, all right, wasn't my best workout, but, you know, I did it. So it's the same thing. It's the same thing. I was talking to somebody recently about meditation. And they said, oh, how do you do meditation? How long do you do it? All these different questions. I said, you know what? I do it in the morning every day. I said, usually it's 30 minutes, 40 minutes. I said, but I will tell you, certain days I'm zoned in and I have a phenomenal meditation, and certain days I don't. And I just think it's the nature of the beast, right? Certain days you're just locked in and certain days you're not. And it's okay. It's just not you're not going to be perfect every day. It's just not going to happen.
Wow. So in the last few minutes, is there anything that you would like to really share with us about all of these changing times? Anything we have to look forward to, anything we have to know to really get through the next couple of months?
Well, I think these next few months are going to be very exciting. We have a lot of energetic shifting taking place. So we have actually, I'm not an astrologer, but I like to study the moon and what's going on. And we have actually starting this month, four consecutive super moons in a row, which never happens.
Wow.
And
wow.
A super moon is when the moon is closest to the earth. And, you know, we're very affected by the moon because we're mostly water. You know, the moon affects the tides and the ocean and the water. So we're going to have four consecutive super moons. That's going to start the end of this month. And we're going to have March, April, May, June, four in a row. And also the month of May, we have three portal openings that month, which we had a very big one in February. We had a 222 portal opening, which was very big. So I think the next couple of months are going to be fertile ground, a very high vibration, and a very great opportunity for people to really step into themselves. But you have to be willing. You're going to have to be willing to step in. And it's not just... It doesn't just happen like anything in life, right? We have to be willing to say, okay, this is what I want to do. I'm going to step into it, whatever that means for you, whether this is health, whether it's relationships, whether it's business, whether it's career. It's really stepping into your own power and allowing yourself to say, okay, I'm going here. I'm going to allow myself to go there. This is a time when the energy is going to support this. But again, if we hold on to the old and old stories and old beliefs and old feelings that we don't let ourselves go forward, you'll get stuck. So this is a very important time to let go of third dimensional fear, old stories, even people that are slowing you down. You may have to make some very difficult decisions to say, I need to get away from certain people, or maybe you need to be living in a different place, or maybe, you know, certain relationships need to be, you need to move on or move to a different place. Not to say it has to be in a horrible way, but just in an evolutionary way. So this is a time to really step into your space, but you have to let yourself, and if, again, I think something you mentioned earlier is very important. If fears come up or things come up that make you uncomfortable, you need to deal with it. So if you're uncomfortable with doing something different, or if you're uncomfortable with following this desire that you have, whatever it is, you have to bring that up to your, don't run away from it. Bring it up into your consciousness and say, I need to deal with this feeling. I always ask every morning when I meditate, I say, please bring anything into my awareness that I have to resolve. So it's like, I'm asking the universe, because I'm like, if I'm not seeing it, please bring it into my awareness. And I want it so I can see it. And let me tell you, it happens all the time. And whether I like it or not, but I am asking for it. So it's great, because it'll bring something into your awareness. Say, oh, okay, that's a tweak that I had to make. And it doesn't have to be the end of the world. It could just be something minor to say, oh, okay, I needed to just tweak that a little bit. That was something I didn't deal with before. So some will be bigger and some will be smaller. But to me, I want to move at the fastest pace. How do I do that? I will ask for it. Hey, as I'm meditating, please bring anything into my awareness that I need to know that's going to help me go forward. And I realize by asking that question, I'm opening a can of worms, because I don't know what that means. I don't know what will come. But I'm ready for it.
Nice. I love it. So, Joe, somebody wanted to find you to have a coaching session. Let's tell everybody your contact information and how they can reach you.
So the best thing is go to my main site. It's Joe, JoeNunz.com. So it's JoeNunz.com. And if you go on there, you'll see I have a couple of free meditations you can download as well. I have a webinar you can download. I have my YouTube channel. Everything's on there. And my contact form is there as well. So if you have any questions, you can just hit the contact form and let me know that you want to get in touch with me, and I'll be happy to get back to you. But if you go to joenunz.com, you will see all you need to see about me and find me.
That's awesome. Well, thank you, everyone, for joining us this evening. I'm Susan Macnin. I'm a registered nurse and an energy medicine practitioner. You can find me at balancedwellness.net, where I guide my clients to heal the past so they can step into the future with the life they were destined for. And a very special thanks to you, Joe Nunziata, for joining me and for helping us manifest our desires in these challenging and changing times. We're all very passionate about healing the planet, and that simply starts with one person at a time. So give Joe a call. Let him work with you as well. Peace, love, and blessings to all of you, and good night.
Hear all of our previously aired broadcasts of News for the Soul online at newsforthesoul.com. Now let's get back to the show.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.